Scott and Todd, March 7th, 2024. Todd, how's it going on this Thursday Eve? You look tired.
Great. I'm sleepy.
Why are you sleepy? Did you not get enough sleep last night?
I mean, it's late, as always.
It is late. But that wasn't the question I asked. I know it's late. You know it's late.
I got enough sleep. I don't know.
You are you one of these people like me that you never get enough sleep in reality?
I think I've told you I need 10 hours of sleep a night, and I don't usually get that.
You and my wife need 10 hours. 10 hours.
I'm not kidding. I think I need about 10 hours.
And when's the last time you, for let's say 2 or 3 nights in a row, actually got 10 hours of sleep?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
25
years ago. There you go. That's pretty close. I guess 25, you quoted 21. Pulling a number out of the air, I understand that. Definitely pre-kids.
Oh, yeah.
Post-marriage for you. What was happening in 2003? I know you just pulled that number out of thin air, but...
What was happening in 2003? I don't know. Lived in Portland.
Did you have your... your postgraduate degree?
Yes. I had a master's degree. I was working at
keep up with it.
Architropolis, I think.
Is that the one where you worked in a pool?
Yeah. I was probably working most weekends, so.
So how would that allow you to get more sleep?
I wouldn't allow me to get more sleep, but.
Oh.
Actually, at that time, I might have been playing, like, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater until, like, 1:30 in the morning every night.
All right, so maybe 2003 is not the best year.
Yeah, that might not be the most accurate sleepy
Bad
year.
Bad call. Todd, we obviously will want to talk about our ski trip and other adventures that we've had in the past week or two. But first, I want to ask a question. I heard about something on a podcast earlier today, and I'm just curious if you've ever even heard of it. Have you heard of something called the Impossible Mile?
No.
Okay. I'll explain to you what it is.
Okay. Sounds impossible.
And then we'll see if it's something that you think truly is impossible. So you go to your local high school track, and you start with one full lap of burpees. You familiar with what a burpee is?
Yeah. I'm not familiar with what a lap of burpees is, though.
Well, like you do it, and then when you stand up, you kind of jump forward, and then you do the next burpee, and then you stand up and jump forward.
Yeah, that sounds impossible.
Just the first lap? You realize there's going to be 4 laps of this.
How many fucking burpees is that? Like 100?
I don't know. As long as it takes you to work your way around one lap of the track. Second lap...
That sounds stupid. I don't know why you would do that many burpees.
Second lap, you do a full lap of lunges, alternating legs.
Okay.
Third lap.
This sounds impossible.
Third lap, you do a full lap of, you do it as a bear
butt
crawl.
Butt kicks?
No, bear crawl.
What is a bear crawl?
That's where you're on your two hands, and then you're on, not your knees, but like your toes. You're kind of supporting your body. It's basically like doing a plank, but you're crawling all the way around a lap. And then for the fourth lap, you simply stand up and run, assuming you can still move and are alive.
Yeah. At that point in time. I think the lap of lunges would kill most people on its own, and that's, I think, easier than the burpees.
We agree. That when I heard this, I was like, ooh. Because I've done just like 30 seconds of lunges as part of a core workout in my living room, and I finish and I'm like, ugh. My quads are on fire. So, obviously, the world record in a 400 is 41 seconds of change. So, you'd be doing it for a lot more than 30 seconds. Probably like 3 or 4 minutes to get around your track, your high school track one time. So, that sounds miserable to me. It sounds like you agree. So, you think
I don't know why you would do
fact...
that many things in a row. That just... Because I feel like most burpee reps are like... 10 or 15, not like,
mm-hmm.
I don't. They're not meant to be done moving. In my mind, it's a you stay right. in a place and do it. But
yeah, the burpees didn't make sense to me. I'm just not as familiar with burpees. But the lunges makes the most sense.
Yeah, that's the most move, physiological. But still, like a shit hundred.
A shit hundred.
Shit ton. So I was trying to say. Ton.
So you don't think this is
sorry, I'm looking up a, you know that, what are they called? The, what's the stupid thing where people work out and do burpees? CrossFit. CrossFit. They have things called WODs, workout of the day. Mm. I was curious how many burpees are in those. So
100,
I'm seeing like 12 burpees. This one has 25 bar facing burpees and then 35 bar facing burpees. I feel like you would have to do more than whatever that is, 60 burpees to get around a track.
Way more. Way more.
So is this something that people claim to have done? It seems impossible.
I assume.
I know that's
do you
the
recall
name,
what I call? Yeah, I'm assuming it's not easy. Damn near impossible. Hence the name. And, but yeah, that's the challenge. Is it something you can do?
Okay, this, the first hit when I Googled how many burpees in a quarter mile.
Yeah.
This guy calculated that a burpee quarter mile was 230 burpees.
Hmm.
With a lunge, broad jump, or step in between.
Yeah, the broad jump would be the one. So 200 and change.
Yeah.
And that's the first lap.
No fucking way I could do 230 burpees.
Todd, you know me well. You know yourself well. No one fucking thought you could do it. I'm just asking, I guess, do you think with some train, like as you are now, do you think if you trained for 6 months, you could get to the point where this is a possible mile as opposed to an impossible mile?
I mean, what are we saying training is for six, like by myself, just me right now, or like I'm dedicating my life to doing this? Is it possible? Yes. Is it realistically possible? No.
Is it possible for Todd?
If I spent...
And if so, how long would you have
to... How much... If I committed myself to spending half an hour... 4 days a week, which is probably the maximum I'd be interested in.
I think that's twice the max, but I appreciate that you put some numbers to it.
So that's 2 hours a week. No, this is not possible.
Okay. You don't think you'd ever get there?
I mean, well, as you may have noticed from my tone, I have no interest in doing anything like this.
I know you have no interest in doing it. That was a given.
So I...
All right, hang on. I'm going to switch all the rules on the fly.
Okay.
We've done this in the past. We did this years ago on this podcast. It's been a long time. What price would it take to have you commit to doing this within 1 year?
1 year, huh?
Within 1 year.
I mean, that would probably be
I offered
be like,
you X dollars.
I don't know, 10 million? 5 million?
Get the fuck out of here. It'd take $5 million.
You'd do it for less?
Significantly less. I can name that tune in about
$50,000. It has to be something that I can live on for the rest of my life and not have to work anymore. Because I'm basically going to have to quit my job to devote myself to training for this in order to be able to do it.
You are ridiculous.
So if I'm going to do that...
First of all,
I mean, it sounds like a great deal. I'll be in much better shape.
And then quit your job and be like, all right, I'm going to lay around. And then 9 months into it, be like, oh, shit, I better really work at this or else Anne's going to kill me because I had a year of no salary and I'm not going to do it. And I'm not going to get the 10 mil or the 5 mil or whatever. That's the reality we're facing.
I think 10 mil. Because 5 of it's going to go to my wife when she divorces me for not completing it. Shit, that doesn't work if I don't do it, I guess.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. Money's not a motivator enough for me to like make me do this.
Clearly, just not working and substituting work for something else is the only thing that's motivating you at this point. Okay, so that's one challenge. I have a second one, which I like to think
10 million.
You don't need 10 million in order to try to achieve. It doesn't have a name that I know of, but it's simply, as we all know, most people nowadays with these smartwatches have step counters. And most watches
default to either six. You don't need a smartwatch. You can just do it with your phone.
Whatever. Most of these default to either 6, 8, or 10,000 steps as a quality day if you get in 10,000 steps, right?
Sure.
The challenge is 100,000 steps.
In a day?
In one day.
How many miles is that?
People have estimated it to be around 2,000 steps per mile. So I'll see if you can do the simple math to figure out if it's 2,000 per mile, how many 100,000 is.
50?
Ding, ding, ding.
Could I walk 50 miles in a day? I mean, yes, I think that's possible. Likely.
You realize that would take a long time.
That's what I'm like.
Average walking pace is probably around 3 miles an hour.
Jesus, that would take basically your full fucking day to walk 50 miles.
Yeah. If you only do 3 miles an hour, you can't do it a day. You'd have to walk 4+.
No, you could do it in a day. You'd have to kind of be getting it. 24 hours.
What's 24 times 4? It ain't 100. Oh, we're talking 50 miles. I was thinking 100,000 steps. Okay, so whatever. So if you're doing 3 miles an hour.
3 miles an hour, that's what, like 18 hours or something?
Of walking with no sleep. You have to get up at midnight and start.
Yeah.
Which is how most people do it. They get up at midnight and they do 3 or 4 hours of walking. Now, I'll throw in the caveat. This will have zero impact on you. If you want to run for any of those steps, you can obviously run. Or you can just run errands. Like, you don't have to literally just be out there exercising. You could be doing things.
Yeah, but you're not getting the step count just walking around Target. I mean, you are, but
it's smaller.
Basically, just you have to be walking more than your normal waking hours without stopping.
Right.
Sorry. So, what do I think I could do this? No, it's too many steps.
Here's the interesting dichotomy in these two.
This exercises. One I would do for far less money. I would do this for $100,000.
See, that's crazy to me. Because while I agree that the impossible mile is way more difficult, you could do it in like 20, 25 minutes. Now you're saying for 1% of your original fee, you would do something that would take you all fucking day.
Yeah, but this is like theoretically possible. Like if I walked for 6 hours a day, like, or whatever, an hour a day every day, and then on the weekends did like longer walks that were like 6 hours a day, I feel like I could get into walking shape to do this in like 3 to 6 months.
So you think the training would be easier?
Yeah. It's like going from 0 to 20% versus 0 to like 320%, which is what the impossible mile feels like. That
I will tell you,
I know it wouldn't feel like walking for 18 hours straight or whatever. Like,
right,
you'd just be popping Advil all day, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably not possible. Just the endurance, I think, alone is just. But I feel like you hear about people hiking like 50 miles a day.
Sure.
And they must be doing it in far less than 18 hours.
Mm.
Maybe the number's off. Maybe it's more like 25. I feel like I've read of people walking 50 miles in a day. It doesn't. And maybe you get up to 4 miles an hour. Like, that's a brisk pace. But if you're walking for 12 or 16 hours, you're not going to be speed walking the whole time.
No, especially if you're going over any sort of terrain of difficulty, which this wouldn't have to be.
Yeah, but you need some diversity or you're going to fucking go insane.
And that's what I was starting to say. As someone who's traveled similar distances in the course of a day, it'll become mental. Like, you can train for it, certainly, I mean, to get there physically.
I've walked 20,000 steps in it. What do we say, 50,000?
100,000.
Oh, 100,000? Oof. Yeah, I don't know. It seems like a lot.
When did you, it sounds like you remember this. When did you walk 20,000 steps?
I mean, I've done that many times, like, for work, if we're out, like, walking around doing retail visits. I mean, not recently, but I've definitely walked 20,000 steps in a day.
Okay. I probably have too. Before I had
my little app will tell me when the last time I walked 20,000.
I mean, look, if you're visiting Manhattan or San Francisco or some city where walking, you know, Toronto for the first time, and you're just walking around, you may have gotten 20,000 steps. That wouldn't surprise me. But we're talking about 5x that. That's a full day of like visiting. You know, stores and shops. And
I mean, whatever. Looking at this, my highs are like 10,000 steps.
And those were probably days where you got back to the hotel or the house and you're like, oh, man. I just want to lay on the couch, crash out for a bit.
That's every day.
And that was at 10,000. Well, I know it's every day, but.
Yeah, it would be a lot. This, I swear I've walked more steps than this. This is only showing me having walked a max of about 10,000.
That checks out. After that, you're like, ooh, let's grab one of these scooters for hire. Zip around the city.
If you're not used to walk, like my average step count is more like 2 or 3 because I don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So if or
wait,
actually
two or three steps or two no. or 3,000.
This is saying my daily average is about 5,000 steps a day, which is not great. But yeah, walking 10, you're like, ooh, that's a lot of walking.
Yeah.
Oh wait, hold on.
That hurts.
August 17th, I walked 20,000 steps. I think we were in Spain that day. So yeah, when I was
there
in Spain, we were walking like 20,000 steps a day.
Yeah, doing tourist shit.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you were probably brutalized.
I mean, I wasn't dying, but I was like, yeah, that's a lot of walking.
Yeah, you were tired.
Five times that would be a lot of walking.
a lot of. That's not incorrect. All right. Think about it. I'm not offering you a penny to do either one of these, but...
What am I thinking about?
Think about if you could do it. What the training would take.
To walk 100,000 steps? I mean...
Yeah.
I don't know if I could do it just for the time alone.
And by the way, if you stumble upon an independent billionaire or millionaire who's willing to pay us...
I don't know why anyone of us would want to pay us.
Well, we'd have to like film it and make some sort of content out of it.
Sure. Yeah, if someone wants, I mean, if you want to pay me to walk 100,000 steps, I'd probably do it for like $10,000, to be honest with you. But
yeah,
the impossible mile, I need millions of dollars to do that. That sounds fucking miserable. That's way more of a lifestyle change. Could I get around to walking 20,000 steps a day regularly? Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Could I get around to doing 300 burpees a day? No fucking way. There's nothing. I have no interest in doing that. Walking 20,000 steps a day would actually be good for me and something I might enjoy.
Yeah.
The burpees would be good for me too, but I have no.
It would all be good for you.
I would hate it the whole time. Walking is at least enjoyable.
If you're getting, what did you say, $10 million, you better hate it the whole time. 30 minutes of hating it for a lifetime of not working? That's why your price is so ridiculous, because it would take you 30 minutes to do that. Or maybe an hour. And yeah, your body would be destroyed. But, okay. Just for an hour of work, I'm willing to do it. I'll do it for much cheaper. So if anyone out there is hearing Todd's $10 million, be like, oh, I'll pay him $10 million. I'll do it for a fraction of that. 1.5. We'll start the bidding at 1.5.
Yeah, but it's less impressive if you do it. People assume you can do 20 burpees now.
Have you ever... I mean, you have, but for the listener that's considering paying this large sum of money, have you ever seen me do anything but run successfully? No.
No.
I have zero upper body strength, which I believe burpees require some of that.
Eh,
the bear crawl, definitely. Yes. The lunges is all lower body.
But. That would be the challenge for you, but you're working from a higher baseline fitness.
Of course.
I'm just saying, like, your VO2 max and your cardiovascular is higher, so you won't get winded necessarily just doing burpees like I would.
By the way, this is all an audio medium. I'm shoving pizza in my face as I'm talking about this. And as Todd's somewhat complimenting me just in my VO2 max versus his, so it's all very appropriate. Anyway, all right. I just want to get your thoughts on that. Todd, another thing I wanted to talk about, and then we can talk about our ski trip, if you want to.
We don't have to.
We don't have to. No, you know what? Let's talk about that right now, since you mentioned VO2 max.
Sure.
We were in Tahoe skiing last week.
What?
You got... I said we were in Tahoe skiing
last week. I know, I'm joking.
You got 5 days, I got six. Or 4.5, 5.5, if you consider that one day where the lifts just shut down for some reason.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Because they were scared that they might shut down.
And then they were open for the
next 2 days. Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Full-on blizzard conditions, so I don't quite understand that. But anyway, I was happy they were open, let's be honest. Aside from last week, when was the last time that you had a kind of a full week of skiing? How long had it been? Decade?
Yeah, easily.
What was the biggest surprise for you about skiing for a week every day? What was the toughest thing for you? What were you expecting or what were you not expecting that happened? Fill in any of those blanks. I do it every year. Nothing was a surprise to me, but something had to have been like, oh, shit.
Nothing was really that much of a surprise. Like, I have been skiing, just not that quantity of skiing.
Yeah, day here, day there, maybe a weekend.
I feel like I've gotten exercise-induced asthma in my old age. Like, if it's cold and I'm running around a lot or skiing, I'll get to the point where it can be very hard for me to breathe, and my younger daughter has asthma, so I'll sometimes... hit her an inhaler and it helps a lot. So,
okay.
Just like
you said, my younger daughter's on
the first day when I was
like,
coughing lots because it was just hard for me to breathe. So that I was not quite expecting that. It definitely got better as the week went on. So I don't know if that, I mean, I know that is out of shape, but it tends to be worse in cold weather for me and it was coldish. There, I like
think that's
it.
When probably
I,
true
when I first
for
started
people.
Playing soccer again, like the first time, I was just like wheezing, not just like
right
out of breath, but like having trouble getting the air into my lungs or whatever. Whatever, it's fine. I'm trying to think. I mean. Just same anything like getting old. I can't turn as quick as I used to. I think I could probably get back to 85% of what I used to be able to do, but if I skied more, I was probably at 75% of what I used to be able to do. But like, there's still some turns that like I could, especially like in bumps that I could do pretty quick flicks before that are a little harder right. for me now.
Bumps and maybe the steeper stuff. We didn't have much steeper stuff.
Yeah, we didn't get to ski a ton of steeper stuff. But yeah, part of it was I haven't skied a ton of powder either. And some of those days were pretty heavy snow. So that wasn't a surprise. It was just like something I wasn't used to skiing. The first few runs on that super powder day, not being able to see anything really fucked me up and kind of like put me in a bad mood about it. Because I was like, I couldn't see the snow at all, so I fell a few times, and if you fall in powder, it sucks, because it's really hard to get your skis back on, and that kind of ruined the morning for me. Luckily, it turned into a good day anyway, but
yeah,
it still looked good, so that's all that really matters.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I'd forgotten that after years of skiing.
How good
with my
I look?
Father. No, that's not what I meant at all. I meant your deep and innate desire to look good for complete strangers on a mountain where, for at least 2 days, they couldn't see you anyway.
That has nothing. First of all, my technique is very good. It has nothing to do with looking good for other people. I'm just trying to ski the best lines and carved turns that I could get. It doesn't. It's not for showing off.
Okay. Is the point of skiing to look good or to have fun?
It's to have
What's
fun.
Number
but
one?
You can, you're okay. making better turns. Like, if your form is good, you look good, and you're making better turns.
Gotcha.
You clearly don't care about that because you got some weird pole plants and, like, a lot of upper body movement that you don't
I'll need. Let you know that my pole plant technique was modeled after you and things
my
that
old,
you told me many,
previous,
many years ago.
Yeah. Back when I was over sort of enunciating my upper
when you're
body.
Warren Millering it. Yeah. Doing it for show.
Yeah. Back in the 80s or 90s, okay. I guess.
I guess I'm stuck in the 90s. I'm okay with that. Anything else surprise you? Did you remember the mountain?
I feel like you're
mountain?
Looking for some answer that I'm not.
No, I'm not. I'm really not. I'm just making conversation, as you do in a podcast.
I don't recall anything else surprising me.
Okay. I'm going to let the dog out to say something.
Who let the dog out? Yeah, I mean, just it's good to get turns in. We had some great groomers, some good off-piste stuff that was fun to ski.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I will say that, by the way. We had the full range of conditions.
Yeah, I got to ski bumps. I skied
terrain.
The face. I skied Mott. Like, there wasn't anything I felt like I couldn't ski. Some of it was, like I told you, I have to, like, just take a breath after 15 turns versus, like, 30 yeah. or whatever before. But.
Yeah, there was plenty of that. That's for sure.
I could still ski plenty everything.
Plenty of me at the bottom of Bump Run looking up and Todd looking for a line where there wasn't one.
Well, when we had the deeper snow, that was, it was less of looking for a line. It's just catching my breath.
Taking a break. Yeah, that's what I figured.
I do think some people were
yeah.
like giving me the woo-woo skiing down the face one time. Like some they were liking my turns. I'm pretty sure that happened.
Hang on. Hang on.
Under gun barrel.
Oh, okay. I was like, I don't think you skied the face, like a true face run.
No, I did.
You did I guess you did yeah, one yeah. time. Okay. I lapped it multiple times. I got plenty of woo-woos, but I always do. I sure. throw the yeah, what's up, bro?
I know
you
think
know.
That.
I give it right back, you know. They're my people with my local pass. I mean, I guess you had a local pass too, but nobody knows you.
I forgot how much fun Kirkwood was to ski.
Yeah, Kirkwood's a fucking awesome mountain.
I really like Kirkwood. I think I like it better than Heavenly. Part of that was because most of the time
conditions.
We were there, most of Heavenly was not open, which was annoying.
Yes.
And we were at Kirkwood. True. Everything at Kirkwood was open, including stuff that should
have been
open.
As it always is. Also true. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Very valid point. Yeah, like, and Dad and I used to do this when I'd be there, because for many years, Dad would go out for 2 weeks, and I'd be there for like 8 days. I'd come in like on a Friday or Saturday and leave the next Monday. So I'd do like, I'd have 2 weekends, essentially. and we used to go to Kirkwood twice
yeah.
within the span of the time that I was there. And I totally, you know, we were there a little bit shorter span of time, but if I was there for 2 weekends again, which I'd feel very guilty about with a small child, but whatever, I would, and we had a car, I'd definitely go to Kirkwood twice. And yeah. it's a good place to go even on like a Saturday where Heavenly, particularly if Heavenly's not fully open, it's so crowded and there's just so many people. Like when Sky's open,
yeah,
Sky just, I mean, again, it's all relative. We used to have 45-minute like wait times and lift lines. Even the worst on Sky is still only like 12, 15 minutes. But we're just, I'm spoiled now with skiing out west and like that's too much. Heavenly, I'm sorry, not Heavenly, Kirkwood never has lines like that. Ever. Even on the weekend, which makes it a good place.
It's ironic because they have far fewer quads. They just have less.
They do.
They don't just have far fewer people at the base of their mountains. So I think that's
right.
Part of it.
It's a little further out. It's kind of secluded. Just doesn't get as many people. And it's a, but you can spread yourself out on the mountain pretty easily. So, but anyway.
That's a weird way to phrase that.
Yeah, just spread it wide open. spread yourself wide
just
open.
Just go spread eagle on that.
spread eagle off the cornices, maybe. But yeah, super cool mountain. It's a shame that you dropped your pole that one time and had to go fish it out.
Fucking annoying.
And had to ski a road.
Yeah, that was one thing I was not expecting. All the extra walking around, either from losing my skis in the snow when I couldn't see. Or that one time I dropped my fucking pole off the lift.
Yeah. All of that was unfortunate.
Pain in the ass to get.
Very unfortunate. But these things happen on ski trips, you know.
True.
When you're a little rusty.
Yeah.
It's more likely to happen. And that's what Todd was, a little rusty. So, anyway.
Anything that surprised you on the ski trip? How many farts were released in the condo?
No, again, I'm used to that. That was pretty standard. I was definitely surprised that Five Guys was closed the last night when we tried to go get Five Guys for dinner. That was unfortunate.
I said,
because once you say Five Guys,
down two guys.
Yeah, see a picture of it, you're like, I want it, and then we couldn't get it, and that sucked. We had to go to Subway.
After we were in Tahoe, I saw an article about the cost increase at Five Guys and how
I saw that today. Yes, I saw that today actually, which is why I mentioned it.
Because they were saying like a cheeseburger and fries
and a drink was
$24, like $20 versus $8 or something at McDonald's.
I just read it today. $24, yeah. Which first of all, bullshit. If you get that same thing at McDonald's, it's more than $8, at least for me locally. Second of all, the guy that said it was $24.17. Tipped over $2. Why are you tipping at a takeout counter type place? There's no need to tip. His total was 21 and change. Well, you're stupid. You don't fucking tip. Are they bringing me anything? No, they're making the... What the fuck am I paying for? I know I'm paying a markup. It doesn't cost them $20 to make a $21 meal. No, it costs them like $1.40. All of that is built in, including the labor to make the meal. I'm not paying the guy $2 to go $42... No, I have to walk up and get it too. So anyway, but yes, it is expensive. It's an expensive meal. I think I mentioned this on this very podcast a couple months ago. I went with the wife and kid. It was like $48. Now, should we have gotten our two-year-old a small burger, which was like $7? No, I didn't tip a fucking penny.
Sure,
but no, with the drinks, it was like, you know, $5, $6 just in drinks. The fries, which the wife and I share, are like $6. And the burgers
are
like $10,
$12.
Yeah,
their fries are ridiculously expensive, I feel like. I mean, fries have gotten more expensive, but they're like, yeah. There's the baby size, the regular, and then the gigantic one.
I don't even think they have three sizes. They have a little and a regular. The little is plenty.
Oh, no, they have a big one now. That's like a tall cup plus the extra scoop.
It's insane.
We get that as a family when we go, like just one of those.
Jamie and I split the little, and we always have leftover fries. Like, I'm forcing them down just to finish them.
Wait, you split the smallest one and always have leftover?
Yes, because they do the extra scoop anyway. If you get it to go,
I could eat one of those by myself, though.
I'm not surprised to hear that. And you did, actually. I watched you do it. Fucking 9 days ago, I watched you eat exactly what you're describing. So I believe you 100%.
The fries are really good, though, I got to say.
The fries are very good. And I always get the peanuts, too. I maximize my, even if I'm just doing takeout, which is what we do 95% of the time, I fucking get those Idaho peanuts or whatever state they're from that day. I always put it on the dry erase board. yeah, typically. Anyway, what was your point with bringing up the 5S? Or you're just commenting that
you saw? Oh, I just saw that article where about you brought it up, but the cost difference between
how expensive
that and McDonald's.
It was.
I mean, yeah, obviously also better than McDonald's, I would say.
It's a much better product. But it is insane. Like when you bought, well, the fucking place we went to, Big Daddy's, Bad Daddy's, whatever, like there was a local burger place we went to. That was $20, 18 and change for me. Burger, yeah. Fries, and drink. The fries were nothing spectacular.
No, not
the
great.
Burger was subpar. And I think they had Pepsi product. Like there was, I should have paid $5.50 for that. I paid $18.24 or something. Like it was ridiculous. Now, that was a burger place on the main drag of South Lake Tahoe, California. But still. Hyperflation, man.
I'm looking to see what size fries they have at my local Five Guys.
Okay.
Yeah, they have little, regular, and large.
Who the fuck? Yeah.
If you get the large for the whole family.
If you're taking the whole crew, you get a large. Let's see. What is that, like $9?
A little and a regular, only a 20-cent price difference.
Doesn't matter. If I bought the regular, I'd just be throwing more fries away. Again, with the wife.
Have you ever gotten the Cajun fries? I know you don't like spice, so I'm guessing no. But
I have not, no. That's a price upgrade as well from what I saw in the article. It's not?
No.
That's shocking.
Just sprinkle some seasoning on it.
Yeah. What, $1.50
I got it like when the first time I went there. It didn't add that much to it, so
it's probably just that, what's it called? Old Bay?
Old Bay. No, if it were Old Bay, I would definitely get the Old Bay.
Oh really?
That's so a Maryland staple.
Oh. Didn't know.
Maybe it is Old Bay, I don't know.
I feel like it looks like that's what it is. Yeah, who knows? Anyway, the show is sponsored by Five Guys. Not by, was it Bad Daddy's? What the fuck was it? Or is it Big Daddy's?
Yeah. I don't think it was Big Daddy's.
Whatever. They are not a sponsor. That was not good. Not recommended. I will not be revisiting. I think the most disappointing thing about that place was literally they put a slice of American cheese on my cheeseburger. And as I mentioned to you as I was eating it, it didn't even melt. Like, if you put it on a grill for 80 seconds, it's going to melt. So what the fuck did they do?
I think they put it on after they cooked your burger. But
I think they did too, which is stupid. It's fucking amateur hour. Everybody knows you put it on while you're grilling it so that your local... a vegetarian knows, as a local backyard griller, you fucking put it on so that it melts onto the patty.
Maybe they're their customers like their cheese with a little more tooth to it.
No, that's stupid. That's very stupid. What'd you have for lunch? What'd you have for dinner tonight? Chick-fil-A?
I had Thai food today for dinner.
Oh. Wasn't enough, huh? It's a shame.
I mean, it was at the time, but now I think it's all this talk of French fries.
I told you. You start talking about fucking Five Guys, you win a sixth. You know what I'm saying?
That's what you said.
There you go. It was my wife's birthday yesterday.
Oh,
as you know. Thanks
birthday.
For the gift, by the way. And
I don't know what her fucking birthday is.
I know your wife's birthday. And
I've been married to my wife for 20 years longer.
Ten
than
times longer than
years.
I have. Yeah. Or six times longer. So I made her a carrot cake. Her request.
Cream cheese frosting?
Cream cheese frosting, buddy. You better fucking believe that. Put some sprinkles on top.
Wait, why do
you like
put,
to say?
Why did you put
kiss.
Sprinkles on top?
Yeah, we're a sprinkle family. Like throwing some sprinkles on there.
That's weird. Well, not, like rainbow non-pearls. Sprinkles? Orange
no,
sprinkles?
No, just like tight. No. Is the color relevant? They just taste like sugar. Just like
just
little
curious.
Sprinkles. Not Jimmy's. Sprinkles.
Jimmy's
is a little scintillation.
Is not a term we use anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, I use it. I didn't put those on there.
Term,
I put the sprinkles
apparently.
On there. Well, That's just what they were called my entire life. I didn't know
racist. Yeah, I'm telling you, don't use that term anymore.
Okay.
For our listeners, don't call them that.
They were not on the cake. Sprinkles were on the cake.
What color were the sprinkles, you lazy?
They were green. Does it matter?
Yes. Are they sugar crystals or they're the sprinkle?
They're sugar crystals. They're irrelevant. When you're eating a cream cheese frosted cake.
Sprinkles are like the little solid candy things. Then they're also like sugar crystal sprinkles that look like.
They are sugar crystal. They're tiny. They add a little twinkle to the eye. Okay,
so that's different. What I think of as sprinkles is like what you put on ice cream cone in the rainbow assortment of things, similar to the makeup of what you call the chocolate sprinkles, but just in rainbow colored.
What did I call a chocolate sprinkle?
Jimmy's.
Oh. I didn't say chocolate sprinkle. Yeah, no, not what you put on top of an ice cream cone. The sugar crystal. Okay. Green sugar crystal.
You didn't tell me that.
We have green and I didn't think I needed to. I said fucking sprinkles. I know. Defined it.
I don't think of those as sprinkles. That's why I was asking what they were.
Well, there you go. Anyway, stone cold delicious. Possibly the best cake I've ever made.
Really?
I was worried because
I'm assuming this is a Duncan Hines box mix. You weren't like following the recipe or anything.
Pillsbury. The Pillsbury guy.
Whatever.
For the cream cheese and the cake. But I'm just saying two things. First of all, here at altitude, it's not a myth. It's much more difficult to bake things than it is at lower, sea level type, like where you live. It makes it a little more challenging for a number of reasons. Your timing on cooking things is different, whatever. But the past two cakes I made and the past two cakes that the wife has made, we go to put the cream cheese frosting on, and it starts breaking apart. Now, I've heard people say you heat up the cream cheese frosting. I think that's dangerous. You don't want to heat it up. That sounds fucking crazy to me. So I've never done that. I did let it sit out a little longer. I don't know. I did a couple tricks that I think helped. I will also say that as part of making the cake, you have the cake mix, you have eggs, and you have vegetable oil.
Earl,
and I put in all the ingredients, and then I got to the vegetable Earl, realized we didn't have any fucking vegetable Earl. Now, it's like 8:30 at night, so I'm not fucking going out to get any.
How do you not have vegetable oil?
I asked the wife, how does this happen? Because I'd gone out the day before to buy the ingredients, and I called her from the grocery store and said, do we have vegetable oil? She said, yes, of course we do. So I did not buy any. P.S. I bought some about 3 hours ago because I had to go back to the store to get something else. But in any event, so I looked up online, what are some substitutes for vegetable oil? And one of the things that's a substitute, which applesauce. I had purchased that same day, that's what the wife said. We didn't have any applesauce, believe it or not, even with a kid. But one of the things that they did say was a substitute is butter.
Yeah.
And I said,
it's a fat.
Well, it's a cake. Let's go ahead and make it less healthy again. So I took 5 tablespoons of butter.
No, wait, was it real butter or are you talking margarine? You seem like a margarine family. Huh?
No, butter. Legit butter. Salted.
Salted or unsalted?
Salted, baby. I buy the butter in this family. When it goes on sale, I buy just boxes and boxes of them. Jamie gets pissed at me because the back of our fridge is just filled with boxes of butter. Anyway, salted butter. It's supposed to be a third cup of vegetable oil. I put 5 tablespoons of salted butter, top shelf. I'm going to start doing that all the time with cakes. I think that helped give it that consistency.
Sure.
So that when I went to lay on the frosting, less of an issue. Don't fucking roll your eyes at me. I feel like I found a secret here accidentally.
Okay.
And I'm sharing it with the people.
Baker Scott.
Well, it's not exactly my forte, so if I stumble upon something, I want to share. Okay.
Yeah, if you can't make a Pillsbury box cake, you got problems.
I'm not saying it's difficult. I'm just saying when you realize one of the 3 ingredients or 4 ingredients is missing, you got to improvise, and that's what I did. And it was successful.
Good work, Scott. So, I'm proud of you.
Thanks. Appreciate that. Pretty happy about it. Pretty happy. We'll use that as a transition. I did. While eating lunch today, I watched this past Sunday's episode We have not talked about Curb much at all.
I feel like the last one was good. This is the one where she works at the Disney store, right?
Yes, she works at the Disney store. He's got the bricks. He meets up with Sienna Miller again, which may be in the pantheon of most unrealistic potential sexual matchups in the history of this show, or I'll go ahead and say it, any show in the history of television.
Yeah, him and Sienna Tracy Miller, Ullman one of the hottest actresses.
Of course it is. You have Sienna Miller, one of the hottest actresses of the past 20 years.
And I'm not talking about Tracy Ullman as herself. I'm talking about the character she's playing.
Yes, I know. We all know. But I'm very happy that she's finally seemingly out of the picture. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I'm okay with her being on the show. Just a little less would be fine with me. And again, so, it's not her. It's the character that she plays.
Of course it's the character. She's a historically hilarious comedic actress. She had her own show. Like, she's proven her worth. But this character is just a nuisance to the show, and I hate it. I hate her. Character, not her.
Sure, sure.
One of my favorite lines of this episode. Oh, it also had Sean, what's his name? Oh my God, from the Smartless podcast. I forgot his last name. Who plays Larry's attorney, who forgets to file the brief, whatever. That whole storyline was funny in the naming of the kid. But as per usual.
Zinkelman?
Yeah, Ziegelman or something. He's like, how about Ziggy? Name the kid Ziggy.
Yeah, whenever Larry just tries to never name ending. People, it's always a bad idea.
It's, yeah, when anyone does, but particularly Larry does. But so Sean Hayes is his real name.
Yes.
That just came to me. In any event, it looked like you were starting to look it up, so I just figured I'd jump.
No, I'm looking up something else.
My favorite line from the episode, and for me, it's typically these lines that you just don't think about, or that are like throwaway lines, clearly improv lines during the filming. But he's on the phone with the Tracy Ullman character's sponsor, and they're talking about, you know, he's trying to get away with not making it the full 6 months. He's like, can I end this relationship? And he kind of makes a deal. I won't give away the full details of that. But meanwhile, the Tracy Ullman character is still, Tracy Ullman's character is still living in the house of Larry. And she's upstairs and she's like asking questions. She's clearly just like, you know, putting things together to head out for the day or whatever. And I think at some point she asks, like, do you know where my bras are or something? And Larry puts the phone down on the armrest of the couch and goes, how the fuck should I know? He just yells at her.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Which is, again, that's one of the best parts of the show is he says exactly what people always want to say and are always thinking. I've thought that plenty of times. Like, your bras? How the fuck should I? Why would I know anything about that? And he just yells it, puts the phone down, and then picks it back up and continues talking. Somehow we're supposed to believe the guy didn't hear him yell that at full
volume.
Yeah,
that was the thing. I'm like, how is he not
here? He's mid-conversation.
It was the last
name. Yeah, Zekelman. There you go.
Ziggy Zekelman. Mantle. Mantle's a great last name.
Great name. Great last name. Home run. Home run hurt. What was the other thing? Oh. I really love the concept, and I might try it in my own personal life, although I don't have enough interaction with other humans to do this, but the concept that Leon brings up of if you just compliment someone on something they're wearing or something they own, they might offer it to you. And, of course, Leon does that and gets a jacket from the Vince Vaughn character, and then Larry tries it out with a pin at Ted and Cheryl's house, and Ted Danson gives him the pin. Ted Danson had a great line in this episode, too, by the way. Just annoyed by Larry's presence. He sits down. Larry, when do you think you're going to leave the house? Like, he just wants him to get the fuck out of his house because he's just there being a nuisance, as he typically does. But, and then Larry does it when the Tracy Ullman character is finally leaving the premises. He sees the scarf that has the, I guess, fake heat or like whatever, has a button where it'll heat up. And,
I didn't even realize that was a
soothe your neck. And he was like, oh, like as he's faking the Grotz disease shaking or whatever, he points to the thing and she's like, oh, would you like that? Here, you take it. You have it. And he's like, oh, so it's like a win-win for Larry. Her character's out of his life. He gets the scarf that heats up.
So I'm looking at the Vulture review and they have Leonisms and it says on the I Like It gambit, all you got to do is compliment people on what the fuck they're wearing. Next thing you know, they're going to give it you one.
Free shit.
And also, I forgot about this, but the stuck fish, at least that motherfucker can't drown.
Yeah. That was a good line from Leon in this episode.
And then his rant about Tinkerbell. Or not rant, but...
Well, yeah. His soliloquy about Tinkerbell. Had that bitch in my pocket. And then, again, another just very quick scene. Leon walks in. Larry's making a smoothie. And I didn't even hear what it was, but Leon starts talking about something that Larry clearly just doesn't care about listening to. And so he starts the smoothie machine, which, as we all know, when you're running one of those bullet things, you can't hear anything. And Leon's just like, fuck you, Larry. Knowing that he did it on purpose, then he turns away and walks out of the room. By the way, in the sneak preview for next week, I don't know if you watched that, but there's a classic Leon, looks like it's going to be a classic scene, where Leon's talking about, he's like, you know what's going to make somebody a billionaire? If they invent a car that runs on piss.
Oh, yes.
They call that a Prius. Instead of a Prius. I was like, God, that's clearly an improv, but another brilliant Leonism, as you called them. So the one thing I wanted to ask you about this episode was dedicated to Richard Lewis. He died in real life, obviously, between the last episode airing and this episode airing. I assume they'll do that for the rest of the season, dedicate all the episodes to him. But Richard had a couple scenes in this episode.
Yep.
He looked, I mean, it sounds stupid to point this out.
He looked weird
very
to me, like
gravely ill.
Yeah.
No, like pun not intended. He just looked very, his eyes were like intense. I don't know what it was. His face was kind of shrunken.
It looked like he had had plastic surgery or something. His whole face looked stretched and distorted in a weird way to me.
I doubt that's what I assume.
I don't think
he
had had plastic surgery. I'm guessing he had just lost a lot of weight from whatever.
Yeah.
Sickness. I don't know if he. Did they say what he died from? Was it just old age or cancer or something?
No, I thought it was. I thought it was something. I don't know if it was cancer, but whatever it was, clearly, at least in my opinion, clearly it was taking a toll on him. Parkinson's. Well, it says he had Parkinson's. He died of a heart attack.
Okay.
See, but neither one of those would, in my opinion, lead to what I witnessed.
I mean, he might have just been sickly. I guess.
Yeah.
Obviously, once he passed, I saw a lot of clips of him. But yeah, that last one, his face just looked very gaunt and sort of shrunken.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. Definitely kind of awkward, but. Anyway, so he made an appearance. Honestly, I don't even remember what the scene was. Now I do kind of remember. But
they were eating.
It wasn't
together.
They were eating lunch. Yeah, but it wasn't particularly funny. And I think I was also just distracted by his appearance. I'm gonna have to go back and watch the episode just to kind of see what the point of that was. I know what it was now. He was trying to get information about Tracy Ullman's character and what led her to start drinking, and Richard explained that it was because her husband at the time, or her partner at the time, had come down with a disease. She didn't want to take care of him, and so that's how Larry decided that he was going to get out of his relationship, which of course worked out for him. So,
There's no way that works out for him long term, though, right?
Well, of course not. But I mean, again, hopefully the Tracy Ullman character is now out of the show. I want to see the trials and tribulations of Larry trying to bed Sienna Miller somehow. How that's ever going to work is beyond me, but that's kind of the point of the show. So, yeah, we talked about it 2 weeks ago whenever we last uploaded a pod. But, again, aside from the very first episode, I think this season's going quite well. With last week's or this most recent episode.
This most recent one I thought was one of the better ones this season.
Yeah.
But we're halfway done, I think. Aren't there usually 10 episodes?
There is usually 10 episodes, yeah.
That was episode 5.
Should have been.
No, it was.
I'm looking that up. Yeah, there's 10. Should have been. Season 12, 10 episodes. The last episode, April 7th. So just a month left. Excuse me. Yeah. Next one's called The Gettysburg Address. The Dream Scheme, The Colostomy Bag. P.S. And then two more unnamed. By the end of this season, there will have been 120 episodes of the show. That's 10 per season.
Pretty good.
Oh, and that, I thought for sure there would have been like a season with 9, a season with 12. No, it's been literally just 10. 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, all the way down. Good for them, staying consistent. And presumably the 12th and final season, as has been advertised. Excuse me. That pizza's just going right through me. Not literally. Check your pants, Scott. Gross.
Please don't.
I will not. What was the other thing I was going to say about Curb? I forgot. I can't remember. Oh, the suit. I forget what it was, but Jeff was not in this episode, so that was interesting at all. Susie was.
Susie was, yeah.
As Larry was going from house to house to get people to buy a brick. And it's her style choices for the past few seasons are so subtle. Like they're not. They're insane.
No, they are not.
But it's just like I've learned to just pay attention to what she's wearing. It's always so fucking stupid and ridiculous. And I love how they just, that just became part of her character. Like it was not for a long time. And now, like, you know, she always had a big bouffant of curly hair. And now in every scene, she's wearing some stupid Janet Jackson Rhythm Nation tour hat with like buckles in it. Or I don't know. It just looks ridiculous. But it's one of my favorite things to pay attention to whenever she's on screen. So anyway. All right. What else going on, Todd? We're now in. What's happening in your life?
Not much.
Not much. That's what I figured. Ski club is over for the kid.
Yep, ski club is done. It's called snow club, but yeah.
Snow club, right. Sorry, should be called ski. Well, I guess.
You have to include the borders.
You don't have to. But,
fair amount of borders.
What about other post-scholastic
basketball
activities?
Basketball season is done for both my children. Track season is starting for my elder daughter.
Whoa! This is news.
She's kind of was forced into it by my wife. She didn't really want to do it, but we'll see how she likes it.
Is this like
spring
at the
soccer
school?
Is also starting for her.
Is track at the school? Like at the middle school?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's like they practice like 3 days a week, something.
Well, yeah. I got news for you. You don't know this, of course. If you just run once or twice a week, you're not going to get any good. So 4 makes sense, and they probably encourage people to run on the weekends too.
I'm not optimistic that it's going to be a sport that sticks with.
So how does this work? Like, does she get to pick an event? Is this the first time she's done this? Let me start.
Yeah, they had it last year, but she didn't want to do it.
Sounds like she didn't this year either.
Yeah, she didn't want to do it this year either, but she's going to do it. I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, she's not going to be a sprinter.
You said it started.
It's starting next week, I think.
Oh, it's starting next week. Okay. Maybe we'll talk more about that. I was just curious, like,
I assume they will, the first week will be sort of
figuring out,
educating the students on what their opportunities are. Gotcha. I'm sure some kids that did it last year will already know what they want to do.
Right.
The new kids won't. Yeah, she has a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Oh, and Friday. So 4 days a week. Ooh, God, it's miserable.
Nice. Now, I assume this is right after school, so she just goes from...
Yeah, I think it's like an hour.
6 period or whatever.
So it's not like a ton of time, hopefully.
Well, it doesn't need to be.
Maybe she can do a quarter mile of burpees at the end of it. I assume she'll be running cross country, sort of thing. If they have that, I don't know what all they have.
Cross country and track are two different sports, Todd. So she will not be doing cross country.
Oh, sorry.
You're saying distance.
Distances. She's not gonna be, like I said, she's not quick to, in my estimation. So she won't be doing any sprints. The hurdles are probably taller than she is.
Yeah, that's probably a bad idea. Maybe field? Pole vault?
She could pole vault. I mean, she's light.
Long jump? High jump?
I think she might be... I don't know. And pole, when you're starting out on pole vault, you don't do the crazy, like, over the top of the pole, so...
I mean, you can't go like, under the pole.
When you first start, you're just kind of like... hold on to the pole and ride it over. You're not like,
oh, I've never seen it at vertically. Her.
You know what I mean?
Like, I've never.
It's all about getting the pole in the pocket, I think, and trying to do that.
Honestly, they probably won't even. They probably won't have that at the middle school
level. They may not.
You
have
to have upper body strength. That's.
I don't know if they have. I don't know if they have like javelin and shot put. Again, it's not built for a shot.
They don't,
put, that's for damn
if
sure.
If they don't have pole vault, they don't have javelin. They should have javelin. They might have shot put for some for the fat kids. You know, I'm serious. They're not running. God knows.
Yeah, so it's interesting. The track and field, like the person doing shot put, does not look like anybody else on the track and field team.
No, not at all.
Or I guess maybe the hammer throw person. Do they still have a hammer throw?
Hammer, discus. Again, you're not going to.
I feel like the
discus
people are usually pretty cut though.
I mean, they're more cut than shot put, sure.
Shot put is just straight, like, upper arm
just
strength.
Just beef.
Whatever arm strength, right?
Just beef and girth. Like, you just want to get some momentum going in that circle and push it into the shot. But yes, you need upper body strength. I'm obviously, these are at the world-class level. They're all world-class athletes.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean that. Have a specific body type typically.
They do. They typically do. Although I'll be honest with you, a lot of professional shot putters started out as like linemen. So much in the way that, you know, professional offensive linemen look like big fat dudes, they're obviously strong people.
Yeah. No, I'm not trying to diminish the.
No, it's fine. We're not going to give out your home address and have an entire shot put group come and pick at your house. That's fine.
I certainly could not throw a shot put more than like 3 feet. So,
God knows. Yeah, no, you'd be miserable. I mean, they weigh as much as an 8-pound bowling ball, which is, again, not super heavy.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's 8 pounds for guys. I think it's 6 pounds for women. I think that's right. Somewhere in that range. And they're throwing it 70. I mean, the world record's like 74 feet for men, which is a long way.
That's crazy.
As you might imagine. Yeah.
I'm surprised there hasn't been like a revolution in technique in that.
I mean, there are two different techniques.
Underhand or something, throws it farther.
Well, it has to be shot. You have to put it, which means you can't. You can't have a foul if you do everything you're thinking right now. Like heaving it underhand, you do just have to push it from a static position. You can extend your arm. That's the way you have to put the shot.
Probably why there hasn't been a revolution in technique.
That's probably why. Yeah. If somebody just got there and fucking threw it, get Patrick Mahomes or I don't know, what's the dude that can jack the ball down the field? Not Patrick Mahomes. Whatever. Any professional quarterback, they could easily probably throw it further than the world record. So you think she might end up like 800-mile type situation?
No idea. I don't know what the options are.
That'd be my suggestion. The 2-lapper, the 4-lapper. That's the way to go.
200 would probably suit her. That's like I'm not sure she's 200 successful in it, but I think that would be her tolerance.
You said she's not a sprinter though.
Yeah, is that considered a sprint? 200 meters?
Half a lap, yes, that's 100% a sprint. Sprints are all the way
half
up to
a
400.
Lap, that's 2 laps, right?
No. God, you're so dumb. No! A lap is 400 meters.
400 meters? Oh, yeah, 400 meters. I think that's probably her distance then.
Okay, so the 1 lap. Still a sprint, by the way. That's still considered a sprint.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, as you know, if she has any questions or needs advice... she knows how to reach her uncle, because God knows she can't talk to her parents about that. So, That's exciting, though.
I'm trying to look up what the possibilities are.
Let me ask you this. Are any of her friends participating in track this spring?
Yes.
It seems like that's her driver for positivity.
Yeah, yeah. Well, definitely one of her friends is doing it.
Well, that's good.
Maybe more than one.
Maybe she'll stay committed then. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. At the high school level, I'd say half of our cross-country team and a third of our track team were just there for the social aspect of it. So I get it. It's fine. But hopefully it'll turn into something that she actually likes doing and will have some sort of competitive drive towards.
Yeah, I hope so.
You would say her competitive drive developed playing basketball this year, right? Or maybe since she started playing basketball, is she more competitive than when she started playing basketball?
This year? No, I don't think so.
No? Oh, okay. Well, fair enough.
I don't see... I was trying to look on their thing for what events track and field has, but I don't see it.
Again, probably a shorter list at the middle school level, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's why I was curious what the events were.
Yeah. I wish I would have participated in middle school, but I didn't.
Did they have track and field at our middle school?
No. But you could go. We had several people when I was in high school. We had several people that were in 7th and 8th grade and came over in the afternoon and ran for the high school.
Gotcha.
But again, I didn't know that was an option. And of course, me being in Northeast, it was kids from Dent. So I don't know if E.L. Wright had that opportunity. I mean, you would have had to come over here on your own. I think logistically it was part of the problem for a lot of kids, probably, just to get over to the high school. But who knows? Who the hell knows? Not I, said the blind man.
Here's some.
Yeah, let's hear it.
800 meters, 100 meters, shot put, long jump. These are just the records, so I'm assuming these are the events they have.
Of course.
1,600 meters.
Okay.
Yeah, that looks like about it.
What are the records for the 16 and the 8?
For...
just out of curiosity.
Girls or boys? Or women's?
For girls. We're talking about a girl here, so for girls.
What distance did you say? 1,600?
Yeah.
It says... 7.38.7. I don't know what that means.
Okay. What about the 800?
803 flat, basically.
Oh, okay. Interesting. All right. Something to shoot for.
That was a sixth grader. There's also an 800 meter seventh grader that was 3.46. Those aren't close.
That is significantly slower. Are these records like just from last year, or is this?
I don't know. I'm just maybe. Oh no, this is 2016. Last year. Oh, wow. 2023. All right. 1600 meters, 5:48.
Whoa, that's significantly different.
What was the other one I said?
You said 7:30 something.
5:48 is good. 800 meters, 2:47.
This is still for women / girls?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's those are 3 minutes. 3 minute half mile ish.
2:47, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. 5:44. That's not bad. Those are faster than you have ever run in your life, I promise you.
I believe you.
Yep.
Long jump. 9'3" seems to be the longest. Nope.
Huh.
11'2".
That's a little closer.
By a sixth grader.
They got a long way to go.
I know this person. Oh, she ran 800 meters in 3:18.
Okay. That's not bad for a middle schooler, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, that's her seventh grade year.
Okay.
It's a sister of one of my daughter's friends.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, so there you go. Something to shoot for.
Okay. This is exciting.
I see a lot of times for, I mean, there's some 200 meters, 100 meter time, 1364.
I was just going to guess, is it 14 plus? 1364 is pretty tight.
That looks to be the fastest. I mean, there's also a 1684.
Oof.
There's a 1364 and a 1394 for 100 meters. Those look to be the best two times.
What's the shot put record since we were just talking about distances?
17.3. And
yeah, I mean, at that age, what can you expect?
That's a 6 pound shot put for the girls.
Yeah.
For the boys, 100 meter dash. Ooh, slower. 1464.
What?
That's right. One person. I think these are like people's best times.
Oh.
Let's see.
As submitted by them to the
website. I don't know. It's unclear to me what this time is.
Clearly. Yeah.
I mean, they have a list of times. This is from last year and like.
Okay.
1334. That looks to be the fastest boy. That's like slower than the fastest girl, though. I mean, middle school, maybe that's fine.
Yeah, that happens. Girls are mature. Boys definitely are not.
Yeah. Shot put 22.8 for an 8 pound.
There you go. Getting up there.
Also, long jump of the same person, 10'2".
Yeah, that's a weak long jump.
Oh, another 8th grader shot put 25.10.
Just 50 feet to go to set the world record.
Oh, really?
Got it, buddy.
Jesus, not even close.
Yeah, it's 74 and change. By American Ryan Krauser. Shout out.
What's a good long jump? I'm seeing 14.6 looks to be the longest.
At the world class level?
Yeah. Like 25
feet. Yeah. But again, that's
all about
me.
Like the kick too, right?
The kick?
Like the launch or whatever.
It's all about speed and trajectory, yes. It's more about speed than people would think.
And then also the form to get your legs.
Well, yeah, sure. You want to land. And if you watch kids, like if you happen to go to a meet of hers at any point this year,
sure,
watch the long jump because the form will be terrible. They will land like standing up in the sand, and that's obviously not the way you maximize it. You're losing several feet just by doing
that. Do they measure from the farthest back thing that touches or the farthest forward?
No, the farthest
back. The longest point?
No.
The shortest?
The one closest to the takeoff point.
Gotcha. So you need to be able to land, stick your feet, and then fall forward, basically.
Keep sliding forward. Not fall forward, keep sliding forward.
What do you mean? Not fall forward? Does that disqualify
you? No, I mean, you can do it if you want to. You don't land and then roll forward. You'll notice people land and just slide in the sand, and then they'll kind of sit down and lean over to their side.
Oh, but as long as you don't reach back, because that fucks you.
Yeah, don't reach back. And sometimes people do that accidentally. Or they'll have a drag hand behind them. And if you drag even a knuckle for a half second in the sand, that's the point they use.
Gotcha.
And it could be feet behind. Obviously, world class people don't do that.
I was like, that's not going to help you any. But I see what you mean. Like, basically, just so you
slide
get out of the way. Clear your mark.
Yes, correct. Just watch any long jump of any professional jumper on YouTube and you'll understand what I'm talking about.
Not interested in doing that.
I know you're not.
Oh, here we go. 1,600 meters, 5.35. That's not too bad.
For girl?
No, boy.
Oh. I mean, that's not bad.
Eighth grader.
I would guess my first couple races my freshman year were in that range. For the mile, or the 16. So, there you go.
That looks to be the fastest time for the fellers. And
yeah,
faster than any of the girls. Fastest girl's time looks to be 6 minutes.
That's specifically a good time if it's an eighth grader. Like, this sounds weird, but a prepubescent eighth grader. Like, that's a good time. Once that kid starts growing, get some muscle tone, he'll be able to get under five, no problem. And the world's his oyster.
Sure. Also did the good shot luck. Put for 24-10.
The same kid?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That's what I'm saying. I think they just like just do try whatever everything. You want.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. Fat, skinny, we don't give a fuck. Just get out here. Move around. It's kind of like my toddler. Just wear yourself out. I'm sure that's the
objective. They also have relay, looks like.
4x1, 4x4?
4x4 and 4x8.
4x8, yeah.
That's in the boys.
It's interesting. The 4x8, my senior year started gaining in popularity. And now it's everywhere. People love the 4x8. But we never really had it. We never had it in a dual meet. We had to travel to Tennessee to do a 4x8 one time. And it was fun. It was a fun experience. But
4x8 seems boring.
Well, everything would seem boring to you because you don't enjoy
it. It's a long race, I guess is my point.
It's 2 miles.
Yeah, well, if the other longest thing is 1,600 meters.
It's twice as long. Oh, my God. Which the kid was 5:38. I got to sit around for 10 minutes, 11 minutes. I'm not going to make it. It's exciting if your kids
as well. Four by eight. They do.
What's the record there? 15 minutes? 14 and change.
For this school, 12:55.
Ooh, that's pretty solid. For middle school age kids, that's not bad.
They came in fourth place, according to this chart.
Well,
I'm just looking at one person because they don't list the.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Or one group, I guess.
But no, look at even 4x8. I mean, 4x4 is a lot of people say the most exciting race at a track meet, but any relay race is exciting because there's, you know.
Oh, yeah. Ebbs and flows.
You might have your best runner in the second leg and the other team has their worst runner, so you might start out way behind, but throughout the course of that leg of the relay, you catch up and pass, and that's exciting. Then you hand it off to your slowest guy, now they're their fastest guy, and they pass you again. Like, there's a lot of, you know, give and take, back and forth. And then, of course, it all comes down to the finisher, the last leg of the relay. Can they do it? Can the anchor hold for you? That's where the excitement comes in, Todd. Even in a 4x8.
Sure.
Learn to love it. Enjoy.
All right.
Yeah, this was
fun. Enough middle school track talk.
This will be a new segment, a new weekly segment. The middle school track update. See what's going on with my niece. What event did she select? How's she doing? Which state title is she going to win in 3 years? You know, shit like that. No
There's
pressure.
Something I was going to ask you from a podcast that I heard. Let me see if I can find it.
Oh, it's okay. Not we'll wait.
To my brain.
Do, 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 do. Todd loves to listen to other podcasts and steal ideas.
Oh, this wasn't it, but this is kind of interesting. They were talking about eating sweets and having an inability to control themselves around sweets. And the one guy was saying that there's some theory or something. It's called the 5 chocolate bar thing.
Okay.
So they were saying people tend to overeat sweets because it's like they assume it's not going to be there. So it's like, I got to eat this before it goes away. Like if you get a bag of cookies, you eat the whole fucking bag because you're like, oh, I don't know how long, like these cookies are only here for a limited time. I'm just going to eat them.
Is this like the Irish Catholic family thing where you have 14 siblings? I don't understand this.
I mean, I think for many of us, there's a thrill of like, oh, this bag of candy.
Slow down.
When I like it. And
no. A thrill.
And I'm just going to eat it because like somebody else might come along and take it. Or it's not going to be here. It's a scarcity thing, so I'm just going to take it while it's available. So the 5 chocolate bar theory is basically you have 5 chocolate bars and you eat as many as you want, but whenever if you eat two of them, you replace them. So there's always five available, and it takes away this sort of scarcity mindset so that you're not like eating it just because you think it won't be there anymore. Does that make sense?
I follow what you're saying. Yes. And this is supposed to retrain your mind to not have the desire to eat so much candy and or chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the point. I think I just eat five candy bars a day.
Here's my problem, though, and it's not exactly what you just said, but like I'm looking to my right, and I have a mostly empty bag that I bought around Halloween of like a variety of things. It had Reese's, it had Hershey's, it had Milk Dudes, and a couple other things.
Milk Dudes.
And it's just always there. So I understand what you're saying, but like if I ate, let's say, five pieces of candy yesterday, there's five more. There's actually 50 more today. So it's kind of an endless supply. I'd have to specifically set up what you're saying and just like clear off this whole area. I think they're
saying set it up so you don't, there's no specialness to it. It's just like any other food. Like people don't eat, say bananas that way or bread.
Cereal, like,
oh shit, we have bread. I'm going to eat it because we only have this occasionally in the house. You know what I mean? Like other staple. Like I'm not shoving fistfuls of peanut butter into my mouth because like we always have peanut butter in the house.
And I would posit that I don't eat any food that way, including the candy. So
I definitely,
it's an interesting theory, but that's insane to me. It's not going to be there tomorrow. What are you talking? The only thing
that it's not going to be there. It's just like, oh, this is enjoyable. It's here now. I'm going to eat it. It's like special.
Here's the other thing, though. First of all, it's never special because I can go out today and buy more or tomorrow buy more. But the other thing is,
sure, you can, but it's not in the house the way other staples are often. Like, I don't know about you, but we don't have a dozen Hershey bars sitting around. But if we had a Hershey bar in the house, I'd probably eat it after this podcast.
100% you would. No, you'd eat it right now. You wouldn't wait till the podcast is over. You'd hit you.
If it were if it were on my desk, if next it were next to me, to you, I definitely would eat it right now. Of course.
I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Here's the other thing that I think prevents me from, going ham on a pile of candy bars or whatever, is that after a while with literally any candy, as much as I may love it, let's use Skittles. If I have a 3-pound bag of Skittles, which I often had as a child, I'm sure you remember.
Oh, yeah. After a while, those make you sick. That was the point, though, to eat to your sort of like, you don't want it anymore, I think was another one of the goals.
But I know that from my childhood, and so I try not to do that. And if I ever got so out of control, after, let's use your candy bar example, after probably three, I'd be like, all right, I don't want these other two. And then if I got here the next morning, my desk, and there were five more, I'd be like, get out of here. I remember what happened yesterday, three of you.
I don't think it would slow me down. And it was too much.
I know it wouldn't. I'm just telling you what my mind would do.
It might shift from two one day and three the next, but I don't think it would ever go down to zero. Definitely wouldn't be one a day.
And therein lies many of the differences between you and I. You can't control your candy bar intake. Also, I thought you didn't like Hershey's bars.
Oh, I love Hershey's bar. Plain Hershey's.
Regular
bar.
Hershey's? You do? Okay.
Yeah. Often will get that.
You do the What's almonds? That? You do almonds?
I like almonds, but I honestly like the plain Hershey bar better than the Hershey with almonds.
Yeah, I think I do too. The crunch is a welcome relief.
Crunch is nice, but there's something about the texture of it that's just kind of nice. It's very simple. I don't like the king size. I like the thinness of the standard one. You can break it off into the little rectangles.
The little rectangles. Do you like it when it's just a little bit warm so the break is nice and clean? You don't have to worry about it like cracking? No?
Okay. Well, I don't like it when it's super cold, I guess, where frozen. It's like almost
That's
crunchy.
Insane.
I'd like it a little softer than that, but I don't want it like melting.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was about to say, if you tell me you keep it in the freezer, you might.
So I was traveling home from skiing, I bought. So my flight left at 5:30 in the morning.
Very early.
Yes. And it had two stops, but I was it was the same plane, so I didn't get off. So I was like, I'm not going to have anything to fucking eat all day. And there was nothing open at the airport that I wanted at 4:45 in the morning.
In Reno, yeah.
So I bought a king-size bag of M&Ms because they only sell king-size shit. Yes. And I put it in my shacket pocket, but it was like melty towards the end. I threw away half a bag of M&Ms because they were like inedible.
Hang on, time out. Not inedible. You can find a way. Get a spoon.
They were messy.
Eat it like an ice cream sundae. Why'd you put it in your pocket? You had a carry-on bag. Put it in your fucking bag.
No, I only had a carry-on, like a suitcase.
Okay, put it in your carry-on suitcase.
That was not with me. That was in the overhead compartment.
Oh. You couldn't stand up? You're one of those guys. You don't want to stand up in the middle
of the plane. Because I moved seats around, I was sitting in the exit row on the second two legs of the flight, so my bag was 12 rows in front of me.
Not where you were. Gotcha.
And putting something in a carry-on, a zippered bag that just hinges in one point, it's not easy to like pull things out of. There's no outside pocket on it.
Well, but you'd keep it front and center, so the second you hinge up...
I didn't do that. I'm just saying. Clearly. And I wasn't...
Put it in your shacket pocket. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just sort of mushy.
Also, take the shacket off. Like, don't have it up against your body. Of course it's going to melt.
I wasn't thinking about it. And then once it had melted, there's no reconstituting that.
Wait, so you didn't eat anything all day? Aside from M&Ms.
I had the bag of two bags of snack mix, but that was about it.
The snack mix? Yeah. That's wild. What'd you eat when you got home? Five Guys? My God.
What did we eat when I got home?
Well, Za.
I don't remember. I honestly don't remember what I had to eat. I was not as hungry as I thought I would be. I don't know about you, but at a certain point, if you don't eat, you just sort of stop being hungry.
Yeah, it doesn't often happen, but I know what you mean. Especially when traveling. I can do it easier when traveling for some reason.
Yeah, I was just sitting on a plane all day. It wasn't like expending a lot of energy. My blood sugar did get low when I got off the plane. When I was like, fuck, can't eat these M&Ms because they're just a big chocolate mush with crunchy bits.
By the way, just so you know, I threw away the cookies, but the little 10% left of the jelly bean bag, put that in my carry-on.
Nice.
Took that with me. I also, because we had those 2 liters of Coke, I finished that thing off too in the morning. After I dropped you off, I went back to the hotel and got a couple hours more sleep. I drank some Coke before I laid down. Still was able to go to sleep because I was exhausted.
Yeah.
And then when I got up in the morning for breakfast, I had some more Coke.
A half liter of Coke.
Yeah. As I went to the gas station to fill up the rental car with gas and turn it in, I finished off that Coke. I was determined. So I felt pretty proud about that.
Good work.
Anyway, yeah. It's an achievement. Gold star. Gold star for Scott. Anyway. All right. That's Food Chat here in the Bro Pod. In case you've never listened to us, it happens very frequently. False. We talk about food basically every other show, and you've just experienced it. But anyway, 90 minutes in, we'll call it a pod. Midnight for Todd, so we'll cut this off here. Thanks for listening. Like, subscribe, tell a friend. Shoot us an email, thebropodnetwork@gmail.com, thebropodnetwork@gmail.com. Slide into our DMs on Instagram and X at the_bro_pod. Again, the_bro_pod. And yeah, tune in every week for content. We haven't missed a week in like 3+ years, thanks in large part to me, if not exclusively. but yeah, very proud of that. And we keep it going here in the mothership. Got a couple different shows that we will do. Recent edition of Todd Talks, which was horribly awkward to listen to, but Todd had a good time doing it, so he might do that again at some point in the not too distant future. He's shaking his head. Probably saying, no, I won't do it again in the future, not the awkward part. Yeah, that's what I figured. Okay, so again, thank you guys for listening. Join in next week when we'll be talking about more shit. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be wildly entertaining, so... Tune in. We'll definitely get an update on middle school track in the I-95 corridor. So if nothing else, you want to hear the update there. So we thank you as always for listening. And until next week, everybody.
Peace.